20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The weekend is almost here. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jason Perrone, of the Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Quick Slants Podcast over at Game On Wisconsin, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report. Mark, we're in full swing. It's summer. Packers football is happening. We're one day closer to the opener and actual football. I ask you this every week. How are we doing?
I'm doing well.
Doing good.
Like you said, it's football's here now, so it's a good time of the year.
So we got stuff. So, as always, got a lot of weather.
Yeah, we always do.
Got a lot of weather, so we start as far east as we can go. Our friend Alex out in Poland chimes in from Łódź, Poland, and it is not, that's not how it's spelled, actually. You should be very, he'd probably be very proud of me that I remembered how to pronounce it. It's rained all of last week, but he said now it's sunny again, 84 degrees Fahrenheit. So Europe's not doing too bad.
No, that's 84 is nice this time of year. That's, can't beat that.
Seems like they're doing well. And Alex was kind enough to also let me know, hey, your geography is off as we go east to west. And he reminded me that Oslo is actually to the west of Sweden and most of Denmark. And he's right. Needless to say, I'll have a map of Europe up in front of me from now on when we go through and do all the weather. So then we've got our friend Robin Eriksson from Oslo, Norway. That was another fun little gaffe of mine back in the day. Weather in a city founded by true Vikings, which is Oslo. Intermittent drizzles, quite a bit of wind. Day ended with sun and blue skies. Temperature around 20 Celsius, which is 68 Fahrenheit. So there's a little disparity.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Did those Vikings win anything?
Probably a lot more than land. There's a lot of land in Canada that they won. Other than that, no.
Okay, because I know the current Vikings never won anything.
No, they're still empty trophy case. Yeah, no.
I was just wondering.
Nothing going on. I'm curious how much purple they wore back then, too, but we can talk about that some other time. So our friend Felix out in Offenburg, southwest Germany, low of 70, high of 99 degrees.
That's a big range.
No wind.
Okay.
He's in the vineyards. I don't know if he's working in the vineyards or he owns them or he's just there. He said he'll be sweating in the vineyards. Sun is burning mercilessly from the bright blue sky. And he said with all the solar energy, he said his grapes, he must own a vineyard. Yes. Grapes are starting to color. Looking forward to this episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Those are our European entrants for this week. Always appreciate that. Thank you, everybody.
It's probably that Riesling wine, right? In Germany, that German wine is usually that the white wine. Is it Riesling? Am I saying that right?
Which is very sweet.
Yeah, I'm more of a dry wine, but I'll be happy to try his if he wants to send us any.
All right.
Just saying.
All right.
Okay, bring it. Are we bringing it stateside?
We're bringing it stateside, and it's in Europe, Mark Eckel, in Myrtle Beach. How are we looking at the beach?
Hot. 90s, muggy, like I said. The same as last week, basically, just hot. It's summertime. It's hot and humid, and luckily I live on the ocean, on the beach, so the ocean breeze makes a big, big difference, but it's in town. It's hot.
Okay. All right, in Green Bay, 81 degrees, sunny, low of 62. Let's check the humidity factor. let's see. Humidity is, I thought it was 89%. It's not. It's 89 degrees. It feels like 71% humidity in Green Bay.
Ooh, that's fun. That's
and
not
a big,
good.
Big congratulations to Paul Breddle, our third here for his recent joining. He recently joined Packers Wire with Zach Cruz, so I want to give him a congratulations for all his
well deserved,
hard work. All those
very well deserved.
You know, billions of articles that he writes, Mark. Right?
Right. Just, oh my God,
it's no wonder.
Like I said, well, yeah, very, very, very well deserved.
He isn't doing some really great things. And our friend Isaac Hanks in Northern Illinois, he chimes in, says, "Let's see, we as far as the weather goes, Hampshire, Illinois is where he's from." He sent the weather. He said heat index is at 92 degrees Fahrenheit today. And he said it's because all the corn pumping out moisture. He's a meteorologist, so he's got some more insight into the weather, right? So he said he did his first winter forecast of the year, and he said be prepared because it could end up actually being very cold in many places throughout the country this winter. But that's just the early preview. Who knows what's going to actually happen there?
Well, it's good insight.
So in any event, Isaac Hanks, Illinois, and then Zach Walls from Iowa took your "Why don't we ever get weather from Iowa" very personally. And so he sent us two weather reports. One from Iowa said rainy, 85 degrees, 33 is the heat index. Temperatures will stay high rest of the week. Top out at 96 on Saturday, 104 degree heat index this weekend. And then his wife's family is in Sydney, Australia, and it's winter down there because they're on the opposite seasons than we are. So high of 67 degrees in Sydney. So got a weather from all over the place. I mean, coming to me here in Phoenix, hot, no surprise. 101, partly sunny. Got a little sprinkled rain in there, but I mean, still close to 100 degrees. So you know how it'd be.
Hot, a little bit of rain, though. Okay.
Hot and oveny. I mean, it'll cool things off for a little bit, but then it doesn't last long. And then it gets hot again, and it's, you know, we don't really cool off until late October here. So just expect
well, you never really cool. I mean,
well, it does in the winter, and then we're very unacclimated to that here. You know, either our blood thins right. out or that dry cool air, it hits.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I tell the story about when I first moved here. It was like end of October, and I'm still wearing like, you know, shorts and a long sleeve t-shirt, and I'd be out at the, you know, the store or wherever I'm at. And I see people like bundled up, and I would laugh at them. Like, look at these people. It's not that cold, and they're all bundled up. Now I'm one of those people.
Right. Yeah.
Now when it gets cold, I'm bundled. I mean, yeah, I get cold easily.
Quickly forgotten all those winter. Although you were in the press box, you weren't out in the.
I had to get to the. I didn't. I wasn't born. I didn't live in the press box. I had to get there.
That's true. So the cold was the cold. So
I hate it. Well, I've never liked cold. So.
It was all I knew till I moved here, and then I was like, "Nope, I'm good. I'll stay here. You don't shovel anything.
I don't mind. Yep, I'm just gonna say you don't shovel heat. You don't shovel 101. It's hot, but I'll take that over 20.
The only thing we shovel here is granite for landscaping. If you're in the landscaping business, so and then our friend Harry in Kamloops, Canada.
Oh, sir.
High of 64, low of 50. 70% chance of rain. It's been cooler, but I guess rain in the forecast is good because they've had some wildfires out there, and that seems to be a thing that they deal with every summer. And we get those here in Phoenix, too, because it's so dry and hot. So fingers crossed that everything will be okay and everybody's safe and no major issues. But that's the weather. And so training camp is happening. As far as camp itself goes, I feel like the quick update is Romeo Dubs probably made a bunch of really highlight play. I mean, he did. He made some more. Some more yesterday in practice. And but what we're going to do is Mark recently wrote a piece, and it was some do we call them hot takes? Bold predictions.
I just called them bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Five based off what has happened and whatever in camp. I just give you I said, here's five bold predictions as you get, you know, to think about. And it's not for camp, it's for the season. But just based off whatever, what I'm thinking right now. I'll read what I think, and then you tell me if I'm, hey, you're onto something or no, you're nuts. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
All right. So my first one is that Aaron Jones will lead the team in receptions.
Yeah, that was an interesting one right out of the gate because we've talked about how active the running backs are going to be in the passing game. And I think Aaron Jones and even A.J. Dillon are going to catch a lot of balls. But, I mean, obviously, Aaron Jones with his agility and his speed, I mean, he's got, you know, home run breakaway potential. So does Dillon. But we've seen Jones do it year after year after year. I mean, I wouldn't mind him getting the ball in his hands a bunch. Yep. But I wonder if especially if Dobbs. I think it's Dobbs, actually. I've been mispronouncing it. If he ends up being all that he is, I mean, and again, it's in practice. He hasn't played in any games yet. I'm not exactly sure. I know you'll have more analysis for that than I can give you my take afterwards. Well, but that was a good one to start.
Well, here's my reasoning. He was second on the team last year on Adam, a distant second, but he was still second. All right. And I just saying again, this is all speculation because it's August 4th. Tomorrow is my birthday, if anybody wants to send anything. But I just think the receiver position, and I'll throw tight end in there as well, is going to be such in flux. Like when you had Devontae Adams or, you know, before Devontae, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, whoever, you kind of knew that guy was going to be the guy, right? And everybody knew it. And so you knew who was going. Here, I think, and I wrote this, I like, all right, they open against the Vikings. I could see Lazard getting 7 catches that week, right? And oh, good game for Lazard. And then next week, the Bears say, oh, Lazard, you know, and they double him. So he gets like 1 catch, but then Cobb gets 7 catches. So I think the receivers are going to split it up. I don't think there's going to be a guy every. I think Dobbs could get one week or Watkins, whoever. I think it's going to be, and that's a good thing. This is a good thing. You don't know which receiver is going to be the hot guy week to week. Where I think Jones will be a constant. I think he'll get like 5 catches a game. If he averages 5 catches a game, that's 85 for the year. I think 85 will lead the team. That's just my reasoning.
Okay. Well, I mean.
And I also think they're going to line him up everywhere.
Right.
Because I think Dylan's going to be in the backfield a lot. I think they'll both be on the field together much more than they ever have.
They're going to need it. I mean, they're going to need that. If you've got right. young receivers coming up in the tight end position, like you said, in flux, they're going to need those.
You want your best players on the field, and they're 2 of the best players.
Right.
So I think you'll see Dylan and Jones together, and then pre-snap, Jones will go in motion and might go out wide, might go into the slot, might go anywhere, might stay in the back, whatever. But I think he'll be – I just think he's going to get a lot of passes this year. I really do.
Well, so I know we'll that it's not like we've never seen a running back have a huge year through the air, and I'm not saying that Aaron Jones is on the same level as prime Marshall Faulk, but Marshall Faulk caught a lot of passes as a running back. And that was, I mean, he was the center point of the offense. I don't know that Jones will necessarily be that. Maybe it ends up becoming that. But in the year that they won the championship in 10, they didn't have any 1,000-yard receivers. So if they're spreading the ball around a bunch, Mark, I mean, that could very easily be Jones.
That was my prediction. It's like I said, it's a bold prediction.
Yeah, no, I
could be wrong. So you're no, not. I'm not crazy.
No, but that one. I mean, that was a good one to start because it's eye catching.
All right, my next one. This one might hurt some feelings. And again, I'm not saying this isn't anything. I'm not predicting what I want to happen. This is just things I think. I think Jones is going to lead the team. Well, Elton Jenkins will be back before David Bakhtiari.
That one I actually agree with, because if you look at
I'm worried about David Bakhtiari before anybody was worried about David Bakhtiari.
Yes,
and I that still was am. Kind of for you a little bit.
So I still am. And Elton Jenkins, it's already been talked about how it seems like he hasn't had any setbacks in his recovery so far. So Bakhtiari did. I mean, it's not like, you know, Jenkins is more diligent or a better player or anything like that. I think it's just his reaction or his recovery from surgery has been a lot smoother than Bakhtiari's was. So right. I won't be surprised. Although it does seem like Bakhtiari's says he's feeling normal and maybe he's not getting the fluid anymore and whatever it is that they did and to clean things up or reduce his pain. Hopefully he's more on a trajectory to come back sooner than later. I mean, I think the Packers are probably preparing to not have him for the first few games. And the one that worries me the most is week 3 at Tampa. I know that they're not the same Bucs as the championship team, but they're still Tampa, and I still think they're gonna get after Rodgers. It's in Florida, all that other stuff there too. But yeah, I think Jenkins probably does come back, and he's also younger.
Well, yeah, everything that you just said is kind of what I said. Plus, again, I'm going to steal Paul's line about reading tea leaves, because Paul used to always like to read the tea leaves. When both Gutekunst and LaFleur talked about both guys, they wouldn't put a timetable on Bakhtiari, which is fine. Timetables are bad because all that does is set up false hope sometimes. So But they wouldn't put him, they wouldn't, there's no timetable for his return. Then you asked about Jenkins, and it was, oh, he's way ahead of schedule. He's doing great. Well, if you read the tea leaves, it tells you Jenkins could be back before. But I hope they both, listen, I hope I'm right and Jenkins comes back and Bakhtiari comes back the following week and they're back to normal and everybody, you know. But I just have a feeling that it's going to be that, that's what it's going to be.
Right. So. Well, I mean, with Jenkins being as versatile as he is, I mean, I know you want your stud left tackle back, and he's going to man and hold down that position there. But if you get Jenkins back sooner, you know, he can, you can put him wherever you most need him on the offensive line, whereas if Bakhtiari's coming back, he's only playing left tackle.
Right.
So.
Oh, which is important, but yeah.
Yep.
I mean, and as I say, when LaFleur and Stenovich have some decisions to make without those guys, it looks, you know, looks like Neiman, Zach, Tom, they're all moving guys around. We don't know what's, you know, they're doing things right now, trying to find the best combination. And then when they both come back, they're going to have some other decisions to make, but they're going to be more pleasant decisions because they're going to have, when they both come back and they're both healthy, the Packers are going to have a very good, deep offensive line. So you're going to take two guys out of the lineup that are, that may be playing pretty well, but, you know, somebody's going to have to come out.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah, but I think hopefully they need them both. They need them both because that's right. That's my thing this year, that like special teams last year where it's like, oh, this seems like the thing that's going to be the problem this year. The protection is big. And so if there's any issues there, if either of them have a setback, that's going to be a problem.
You're right. Yeah, we don't want any setbacks. Let's get them back. And you led into my next one, which we've talked about this on our podcast a lot lately. But for my story, I put in, you know, that I said special teams will be above average.
That's actually the way it's written.
All the way.
Yeah, that's actually the way it's written. Yeah. Well,
I'm not ready to go all the way, but they'll be above average, which for this group would be a great, would be, as I say, from where they have been the past three seasons and especially last year, above average is as bold as it gets.
Right. Yeah.
And I think I think Packer fans would be very happy if special teams are above average. I think you'd be happy if they were average. Right.
Right. Yeah, I was just going
to
say
last year they might go to Super Bowl.
Yeah. What I was going to say, this is actually very worthy of a bold prediction, because realistically, if you're betting, you really can only expect a certain amount of improvement because they were so bad. It's like, you know, if they all of a sudden catapult into like a top 10, that's a huge ascension.
Oh, no. That's too good.
You know, that's a huge ascension. That's crazy.
I'm
but above
like
average,
15, 16.
Above average is still, yeah, it's still better
from
than
32.
Better.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that'd be a big jump.
The reasons are things that we've gone over to pay. First of all, the coach alone will take them up a few notches. I mean, they have a real, not just a real special teams coach, a real good special teams coach, a guy that's done it for a long time. I mean, all you hear every day from campus, you know, some of the things he's doing and saying, and LaFleur loves them. The players seem to. What was the one player said he'd run through a wall for him?
Yeah, Leavitt.
You know, yeah. So and then they've added his guys. He has Leavitt. He has Nixon. Well, Nixon hasn't practiced yet because he's been bothered by a groin injury. But I mean, the Raiders had a decent, you know, not great, but a decent special teams last year. And it looks like the Packers got two of their best guys in Nixon and Leavitt. So those two, I think, you know, I've been singing the praises of Terry Carpenter, the rookie from Georgia Tech, who I think will do things. Tyler Davis, I think will make a impact on special teams. Guys like Dominique Daphne, Shamar John Charles, guys back from last year, Isaiah McDuffie. I think he has a good core now, and that's for coverages and blocking and all that. The punter apparently is an excellent holder, which can make a big difference for Crosby, for kicks. I think the protection for him will be better. They'll probably have 11 guys on the field at all times, not like last year. So, I mean, yeah, I just see I see everything getting better. The return game will probably be better. It can't be much worse. So, yeah, I just see improvement everywhere.
So earlier this week in practice, Amari Rodgers muffed a punt.
He shouldn't even be a he let him concentrate on being a receiver. See, Watson getting hurt didn't help that, because I thought he would be on the return game. But let these kids do it. Let Dobbs do it. Let Torrey do it.
Right.
Let get Rodgers. Rodgers wasn't good at Clemson. He was just okay.
Right.
And if you're just okay in college at it, you're not going to be good at it in the NFL.
Well, I wonder if the Packers maybe thought the Bisaccia factor would make him better and it would help him focus and improve. But there's certain things that when you keep doing it over and over again, even if you've got the best coach in the world, like, your coach can't go out there and make the play for you.
Right. I don't know why, but he wasn't good at it. I remember when they drafted him, and I liked the pick when they drafted him. Otherwise, he'd be a decent slot receiver. But there's, he's going to be the return guy too. And I'm like, I watched him at Clemson. He was just okay. He wasn't a good return guy. He was just an okay return guy in the ACC. So why would he be so good at it? You know what I'm saying? I didn't see that.
It always makes me nervous when you ask somebody to do something they haven't done naturally at the pro level. Like, okay, yeah. If you want to have somebody try out kick return or whatever in college, because especially if you don't play a bunch of other D1 schools, like, you're gonna succeed against some collegiate programs that don't have like great players, and then figure out if this person can do that. But to come to the pros and ask a rookie who's already drinking through the fire hose to do something they haven't really done before, and it's clear that he has issues, like catching a ball and being aware. I mean, he got yelled at by Bisaccia last week for not returning a punt that he should have. So it just seems like his head is still swimming a little bit. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, I want him off that and let him concentrate.
So he's kind of bursting a little bubble. I mean, not everyone's going to work out, but he's bursting a little bit of that big school bubble coming from Clemson. You would have expected more.
I didn't expect him to be a good returner, because I saw him at Clemson. He wasn't a good returner.
Well, he hasn't proven to be a good receiver yet, but he hasn't had very many opportunities either. Right. So we'll see if that changes this year.
So, all right, my next one is on the defense. And I just say that, well, first I put out this, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I say, forget and I call it the all-time meaningless stat of yards allowed.
Right.
And that's how they rank defense. Yeah, they were third in the league in defense. It's the dumbest stat ever. Who cares how many yards you allow? I mean, because then, you know, it's just to me, I've said this for 40 years now, when I first started covering football, I was like, why are they ranking them on yards allowed? I mean, who cares how many yards you allow?
Right.
I mean,
and especially in today's NFL, where it's like you're almost giving up like the 50 yards between the red zones.
Yeah, or at the end of the game when you're up 28-10 and the other team gets the ball, you let them gain 8 yards here and 6 yards there. Who cares? Let the clock run out and you win the game, right?
Yep.
So anyway, forget that. But I say the three most important categories to me is points allowed, turnovers caused, and sacks. And I say that Joe Barry's unit will rank in the top five in all three of those stats.
Oof. That is going to be
bold. That's bold.
Well, that's awesome. That is going to make – it's going to be just as – I mean, you're literally going to enjoy watching it the entire game. Like, it's not going to be like, oh, the defense is out there.
That's what I say, yep. It's going to be fun to watch the defense.
Right. Yeah.
I really believe that, because I think – well, points allowed, I mean, that's obviously the most important stat, because that's
– the game. That's
how you win the game.
Well, right? Didn't you also say points per 100 yards? I like that one.
Oh, I love that stat, too. That's my own little – that's Stan Walters, the former – Pro Bowl left tackle for the Eagles, who became their radio analyst. He taught me that. And that's a great stat, because it takes everything. It takes offense, defense, special. It puts it all into one nice little bow for you. Like, because it takes everything into consideration. Because if you have a long return and you only need 30 yards to get a touchdown, that's a good thing, because you got 7 points on just 30 yards. So that boosts your points per 100 yards up. But anyway, my point for them being ranked high in all three categories, I think the secondary is really, really good. And I go back to in 2010 a little bit, but the 96 defense, which was really, really good, they got a lot of sacks, and they had Reggie White and Sean Jones, and it's two pretty good guys. Reggie's maybe the greatest of all time, and Sean Jones wasn't bad. Santana Dotson inside, but a lot of those sacks, and take nothing away from Reggie and Sean Jones, but a lot of those sacks were cover sacks, because that secondary was also very good, and guys just didn't get open, and then after a while, quarterback. You give him a little bit of time. Eventually that time's going to go away, and then there was Reggie getting the sack. Well, I think you're going to see a lot of that this year, too. I think with Stokes and Alexander and Douglas and then Amos and Savage and whatever else mix and match Barry does in that secondary, I think they're going to shut down some receivers, and quarterbacks are just going to have nowhere to go, and they're going to hold it just long enough, and boom, here comes Gary, here comes Smith, here comes Kenny Clark up the middle, here comes – maybe a safety on a blitz. Amos comes on a blitz, or Savage comes on a blitz. But, yeah, I think you're going to get more sacks than they have in a long time. And then the turnovers, well, sometimes sacks cause turnovers. Force strip sack fumbles. Or maybe quarterbacks, when the pressure starts coming, they don't want to take the sack, so they throw it up for grabs. And, bang, there's one of those guys I mentioned in the secondary picking it off, or Amon Campbell getting the line, getting the pick, or I just think we're going to see a lot of. I think we're going to see a lot of big plays out of this.
The one thing that can derail is health.
Well, God, yeah.
Anything in football, yeah. But especially though, in those two positions, edge rusher and safety, the Packers are just razor thin. Unless they think Quay Walker is going to be a contributor or something like that.
A little bit.
And they've got somebody that can rotate in there, because there's a huge drop-off when you go to the twos and threes.
Well, I still think the third edge rusher – matter of fact, I got into this conversation with a guy the other day. He was asking me between – he was naming all the Ramsey and Hamilton and Gar, whoever. And I said, I don't think the third edge rusher is on the team yet. I believe they're going to either – I don't think there's anybody left. I'm not sure, but there'll be somebody. Somebody will come available. Whether it's through a trade, some team might look. Hey, a team that's not that might not be playing for now. Like team looking toward the future, maybe might have a young linebacker that they want to play ahead of an older guy, and maybe they get rid of the older guy because he's making a little more money. So maybe they will. They might cut him. If they cut him, the Packers got to do is claim him. Or maybe maybe the Packers call and say, hey, what's up with this guy? We'll give you a sixth round pick. Okay, we'll take a pick for next year. I believe, again, they're going to give these guys every opportunity in camp and the preseason games. And maybe a John Garvin, the light bulb comes on and it's his third year and boom, it all comes together. I don't know. Well, that's what preseason's for. I think we're going to see a lot of those. Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary aren't going to play in preseason, right? There's no reason to put them out there. Didn't Gutekunst say he wants to put Gary in bubble wrap for the rest of the preseason, for the rest of the camp?
Pretty much.
So he's not playing in preseason.
You have to. Those guys, there's no reason for them to play either.
Right. So I think we'll see a lot of Garvin and Hamilton and Ramsey and the kid from South Carolina whose name I can never say.
Enikbare.
How do you say it?
J.J. Enikbare. Kingsley, but I think he goes by J.J.
All right, Enikbare. and he's making a team because he's a draft pick, but
yeah.
he'll be four. I don't think he'll be three. I think he'll be four.
Right, red so shirt. It's red shirtish type of deal.
I mean, Gary didn't play much as a rookie. He was a 12th pick of the draft.
Yeah.
So this kid's a fifth. I mean, this kid got all the tools. I mean, I like him, but as a four or five maybe. So I really believe they'll go out and get a veteran. Probably an older, the perfect guy would have been Whitney Mercilus if he didn't retire. But there's other guys like him out there. A guy on the, on the downside of his career, but you can still play him 20 some snaps a game just on third downs. Just put him out there to give Gary and Smith a little breather. So you play him, like I said, 20 some snaps a game. And hope for the best.
Well, hopefully you can. Hopefully there's a team out there that has an up and coming rookie that they didn't expect to play as well, and they can maybe let a veteran go.
A lesser team, a team like I don't want to disparage teams, but like the Giants or the Panthers or the Jets or the Jacksonville, all those teams, they're not winning this year, and they know they're not winning this year. So if they think they can, A, save a little money on a guy, on a veteran making $4, $5, $6 million and play the young kid and get something in return, get a sixth round pick or whatever next year, or get a, maybe, the, I don't know, whatever the Packers want to give them, I think it's worth it for both teams.
Right.
And we've seen, I mean, we've seen this happen before. This isn't unprecedented where veterans get traded at the end of camp. All right. And my last one, I call it Love Will Find a Way. Okay. And it's, I say that Jordan Love is going to get at least one meaningful game in this season, whether it's Rodgers misses a start because of a minor injury or gets knocked out of a game early. But he'll be forced to play and he's going to come through this time.
Okay.
I think we're going to see why the Packers took Jordan Love in the first round in 2020, and we're going to see why. And I'm almost comparing it to Aaron Rodgers. If you go way back when he didn't do anything as free, he looked like we don't know if
this guy's going to be anything. Yeah, he was mechanics. We heard all about it. Mechanics were, and this is before social media. The mechanics aren't good, and he's having trouble, and he's got to go through McCarthy's quarterback school, and his release is bad, and he looked in game action, and that was in 2006. His first 2 years in game action, I mean, he was very iffy.
And then he came on that Thursday night game against the Cowboys and played pretty well.
Huge.
They didn't win the game, but it wasn't because of him. They were losing when he came, and he almost brought them all the way back.
Yep.
I think this is Jordan Love's. I think he's going to get a game like that, and he's going to come through. That's again.
It would have been interesting to me if that had not been about Jordan Love, and somehow Love Will Find a Way turns out to be a title for something else. But no, I mean, I don't think. I mean, I hope that one doesn't happen, just simply because that means Aaron Rodgers is missing a start.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard. I mean, how many? Didn't we look this up last year? There was only like 10 quarterbacks that started 17 games last year.
Right. Yeah. No.
Things happen.
It's unlikely, and I think Rodgers would have if he didn't end up getting the virus.
Well, right, but he did. I mean,
but he did, and so he couldn't play. So, but if he did, I mean, he didn't get, like, he wasn't injured; he was sick.
Right.
But
well,
yeah,
like
I mean,
it's, illness, injury,
well,
whatever.
It's still there. I mean, it's very possible that he might have to miss a game, and hopefully not. But if anything, it's like this is the third year for Love in the offense. Right. He hasn't had
really
a,
second.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
The
I
first
mean,
year,
I
it was unfair. He had 2020. Preseason.
Could you imagine if he would have had? Had to play in 2020. What a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been really scary. But I mean, he hasn't had a spectacular training camp. I don't want to, you know, jump on the hype.
Oh, he
train.
Played well yesterday.
He did.
He was player today.
That's what I was going to say. Actually, so he did play well. You know, he looks.
When I say yesterday, I'm Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I should say,
looks,
we're on Thursday.
He looks good. He looks better. It's year three. He's clearly taking steps. And like you said, the other thing to keep in mind too, like you said, is he's in the last two drafts. Well, maybe not last year, but this past draft, he was still the best quarterback out of all those prospects.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So the idea of him playing is not as scary as it was a year, or even a year ago, or definitely better than 2 years ago.
Hey, I still think he's better than the draft before. All right, yeah, he was better. I mean, he's better than Kenny Pickett, who was the best of this past group, right? But I think he's as good, if not better, than the ones from the year before. The Trey Lances and
Trevor
Justin
Lawrence.
Fields. Well, Lawrence is low. No, he's not better than Lawrence. But I think he's. I tell you what. Let's see what Chicago. Let's see how Chicago and San Francisco look this year, because I don't think either one of them is going to be as good as people. Well, Bears stink or suck, as you like to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I think the 49ers are taking a big step backwards too this year. I don't think Trey Lance is any good.
Yeah, Lance, I'm not as worried about them. I can tell you that much.
Yeah,
so whatever it is, they're transitioning and they have to. But whatever it is that they're doing, I'm not. I don't rank them as high on my list of. I'd almost put the Cardinals. I'd put the Cardinals ahead of.
Oh,
the
Cardinals are, oh yeah, they were better last year during the season.
Right.
Niners just got hot and hot at the right time. And you know, if the Rams don't blow that game, the Niners don't even make the playoffs.
Right.
The Rams had a great year, won the Super Bowl. They had one terrible half of football, and it let the Niners get in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean,
and then off to Green Bay they came. I'm just glad I wasn't in the stands for that one. What a nightmare. Well, I mean, so because this is one of those the jury is still out type of things, and it's not a foregone conclusion that Gutekunst blew it, although some people will absolutely convince us that he blew it because he didn't make enough moves to get a receiver like he should have that year. But it's like, well, he didn't have the option. Other teams got more aggressive, and right. Justin Jefferson, honestly, out of all the receivers, Brandon Ayuk to me is like, he's okay, but I don't think he would have been worth where he was even drafted by the 49ers right now. He hasn't done that much. And I'm a former ASU Sun Devil, so it's like Jefferson was the only guy I think that would have been worth trying to move up for, but he was long gone. So it's like they didn't. Yeah. What did they miss out on? They didn't.
I mean, they could have gotten what would have, you know, they could have moved up and got Jalen Reagor, who's been a total bust in Philly.
Oh, oof. And there right? were there Mims, was there was or, he or was they mocked. Could have taken
Denzel Mims was a guy people talked about. He's been a total bust with the Jets.
Yeah, Reagor was mocked a lot to the Packers in that draft.
Yeah, I mean, the Reagor was a guy that was going to go in that range of 20-something. Well, I knew the Eagles liked him. I kind of knew the Eagles were taking him. And I'll be honest. I thought he was – I didn't think that was a terrible pick when they made it. But he's just been – I don't know what the problem is. But he hasn't been good.
His best moment has been against the Packers. It was the punt return.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a bad return guy, but that's not why they took him. They didn't take him at 20-something to be a return guy. The one guy they could have taken instead of Love – who was on the board, and he's been pretty good, is the kid from Clemson. Since that, he took Higgins.
Yeah, Higgins has been good.
He's the one.
It's helpful when you've got a really supreme talent like Jamar Chase across from you, too.
Right, sure, absolutely.
Or on the other side.
Well, he would have had Adams, you know, if they took him. So, that, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
For a couple of years, so.
Very good point. You
know, I mean, that would have been the one guy, but hey, it's all hindsight. Hey, listen. If Jordan Love is the reason that Aaron Rodgers kind of woke up and had two MVP seasons, then it was a great pick.
Still.
I mean, Rodgers, when they took him, Rodgers wasn't MVP. Rodgers was coming off a year where he broke his collarbone and missed half the year, and then a year where he was okay. He was good. By his standards, he was below average, but by anybody else's standards, he was good. But he wasn't MVP.
Right.
And then they took Love, and you know how Rodgers is. He gets all... You know, things he's a complicated fella.
He is. That he is.
And, you know, and he won the MVP 2 years in a row. So well, if having Love is but spurred that on, then so be it.
Well, it's easier, as they say, it's easier to find a job when you already have one. It's easier to find a quarterback right. when you don't have to reach for one. And so the Packers more now than 2 years ago are in a lot better shape if they're going to transition, because it's year to year with Rodgers. I don't care what his contract right. says. It's year to year.
Oh, exactly.
And he did just say to the media this week, and we know that he wasn't going to do it anymore, because a couple of years ago he said, I'd like to play until I'm in my mid-40s. And now he was asked that same question, and he straight up told the media, no, he doesn't see himself playing to 45. So, you know, he's only going to play a few more years, and it's year to year. If it's time to transition, like you said, we feel a lot better about that happening now than – we did a year ago, right. And especially 2 years ago when he was a rookie.
And I'll say this too, and I've been saying this about Rodgers. If they win the Super Bowl this year, I think he says thank you very much.
Why would you not?
I think if they won it last year or the year before,
he's not coming back.
I think he would have said thank you. This is the perfect. I'm walking out on top, and it is a perfect ending. I don't care what anybody says.
If they win a championship, I won't be. I mean, Cobb's going to retire. Mercedes Lewis is going to retire. Rodgers will retire.
Crosby will retire.
Crosby probably. And, you know, I mean, depending on how he really feels about how long he wants to play, too, does Bakhtiari finally got his championship in Green Bay? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what else? Let me just keep my knees together. I'm going to probably be up against it these next few.
I mean, I want to be able to walk when I'm 40.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, there could be a lot of changes, but that's the price that we pay for any championship, because it's like right. players get cut, moved on, coaches get plucked because they're popular now, players retire, you win a championship, it's hard to get back. That's why I'll be really curious to see, because the Rams still have a lot of really good players, but I'll be really curious to see what they come back with this year and how they do, because there's this weird force of nature that goes against Super Bowl champions that makes it really hard for them to win.
It's hard. It's in any sport, especially football.
Right. Absolutely. All right. That was a really good list. I like that one. All of them were really good. I'm trying to think of I think the two that got me the most were the first and the last one.
Aaron Jones and Jordan Love,
because you have something to point to why you think Jones could perform or do that, you know. But with Love, it is kind of a projection, only because we haven't seen him play well in a game. But the Packers are around him in practice every day, and we're not hearing that he's taking steps back and he's not doing well. In fact, we're hearing the opposite.
Right.
So I think at this point, and honestly, I know we probably talked about it already, and you can give your quick take on it too, because it was a while ago, but I don't think that the game plan in the Chiefs game was very good for him. And I know that they just found out on Wednesday that he was going to start, right. But I don't think what they asked, I mean, they basically still ran the same offense, and they didn't put anything in for him, and he just, you know, he couldn't find Devontae because they were doubling him and his accuracy wasn't there.
They were blitzing like crazy, too.
Right. Yeah, he had a lot of pressure.
They came at him with a blitz, and they weren't. It was, yeah, and that's a tough place to play, Arrowhead Stadium. That's one of the tougher home field advantages around.
Right.
For a young guy, you know. And again, he played better the second half than he did the first half.
Right.
He did get better as the game. I mean, he didn't play well. I'm not.
He did. Yeah, he did okay.
But he got better. I mean, he was bad the first and second. He took him on a touchdown drive. He let him down the field again. Did they miss? They missed a field goal in that game, right?
Well, I feel like they did at least once every game anyway. So they probably
I think
did.
He took him down.
I tend to block out the losses. I do. I tend to block out the losses. So I don't remember a lot of details about that one, but. You know, I think the Packers could do a lot worse than Jordan Love, and so they've got a capable backup, and B, a guy that can step in if needed, that the coaching staff likes if needed this year. God forbid Rodgers is out long term or going to miss games.
I said one game.
I know. I said it. And here's me knocking on wood to bring it back. Or if next year's the year that they're going to make the transition, well. Things are headed in the right direction, and we're hearing the right things. So at least we feel better about that. So that was up at Packer Report this week. What's upcoming, and what's coming up next?
Okay, so that's up there now. With a bunch, there's a lot of good stuff on Packer Report right now. I mean, Andy's writing every day observations. We got Zach writing all kind of stuff. It's loaded with information. But I have a story coming out today, later today, Thursday, or depending what time you're listening to us, maybe it's already up. Everybody's talking about Romeo Doubs, right?
Yes.
You know, he'd play a day. Well, I talked to his old college quarterback, Carson Strong, who's with the Eagles now, about him. They're very good friends. They actually lived together in college.
Okay.
So I figured, you know, he knows him as well as anybody, right? Or better.
Very reliable source.
So I just figured let's get a different take on the Packers' next Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Excellent. Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm assuming he probably had some really good things to say about him. I can't imagine that he wasn't good in college and all of a sudden he's flourishing. Right. But the Packers, big feather in their cap again for the scouting.
Yeah, so that's well, we'll see. I don't want to put too much pressure. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys play great in August that – you know, didn't play well.
Well, you know what? Cautionary tale. Josh Jackson, quarterback back in 2018. He had a really good training camp, and then he came out. Yeah. He was okay in the first two games, made that big play on the block punt, recovered it for a touchdown against the Vikings, and then disappeared. I mean, just gone. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore.
He got traded.
He and Yadam got swapped for each other, and Yadam's not with the Packers, and I don't know if Josh Jackson is still with the Giants or where he is.
Oh, no, he was. The Giants cut him during the season last year.
They let him go.
I think he went to Kansas City for a week, then he was somewhere else for a week. I don't believe he's in camp right now.
Now, was that to enjoy barbecue or play football? Because I don't know if he was actually in Kansas City to play football.
I don't know if he was on a roster or a practice squad or something, but he was. Yeah, but now I don't believe he's in the league anymore. That's shocking.
That was a tough one. Like, yeah, Goody took one on the chin with that one.
It happened. But it wasn't. I mean, everybody. I can't rip him because when he made the pick, I was like, wow. I thought most of us had him going in the first round.
Yeah, I did. Oh, I definitely did. I got it wrong for sure. You know. Yeah, I got it wrong for sure. So. Well, good stuff to look forward to there, and I'll have
some. And you got Quick Slants?
I got Quick Slants coming out on Monday, yep, so I'll we'll have any updates from the end of the week. We'll have Quick Slants coming out on Monday. I don't know, maybe we'll break down some of the stuff that Aaron Rodgers said. I'll try to keep it to football because he talked about a lot of interesting things on the podcast that he was on yesterday. So never a dull moment. Like you said, like Mark Murphy said, Mark, he's a complicated fellow. But he's our quarterback and we love him. So thanks to everybody who sent in weather. Really appreciate it. I hope everyone is staying cool and safe wherever you're at. More Packers training camp coming up for the rest of this week. The rest of our crews every day will keep you keep the seat warm until we're back next Thursday. Hope everybody has a great weekend and a great next week to start things out. We'll be back. And, of course, as always, go Pack, go.